A note to listeners before we begin. Today's story includes racial slurs and revolves around racism. This is for the purpose of historical accuracy and does not reflect mine, the cast, or crew's opinions. Listener discretion is advised. As a friendly reminder, this is a censored version of the episode, which means all of the racial slurs have been bleeped out.
Good afternoon, sir. My name is George Morrison, and...
What's with that camera around your neck?
Oh, I'm documenting my trip in Logan, sir. See, I just found out I have a sister from here. Well, had a sister. She died about 50 years ago in the 30s. I live in New Mexico now and made some calls to folks around here, but nobody seems to know much about her. I was hoping your newspaper might have some records.
What's your sister's name?
Mamie. Mamie Thurman.
Mamie Thurman? Well, I'll be damned. She's a legend in these parts.
So I've heard.
They say her ghost haunts the roads up by the old mine. Shoot, and she's your sister.
Yes. Anyway, if you could point me to those old records, I'd be mighty grateful. I'm writing a book, see?
Uh-huh.
Daddy didn't leave us much about Mamie. He died in 28.
Shoot, don't we all know it? They say he was a drunk, fell into a stream by Coal Street, and died of pneumonia not long after. Fella stayed in that stream for a few days before he was sober enough to call for help.
I don't like to think about that side of my father. Do you folks talk about his skills as a carpenter? Probably not, huh?
We talk about that, too. He ain't as famous as Mamie Thurman, but folks talk about him from time to time. They say he's buried in the old Aracoma Cemetery, but, like your sister, he ain't got a headstone.
You seem to know a mighty fine deal about my family.
It ain't a busy day for me. Set up your camera and I'll tell you what I know.
Welcome to the Original Dead Time Stories, a podcast where I, Skylar Fastenow, go beyond the crime to investigate human psychology and history, so maybe we don't make the same mistakes of our ancestors. If you're a fan of the show and you want to support us even more, check out patreon.com/OGDeadTime. We'll start our next chapter after these brief messages. And now, on with our show. Mamie Thurman was born September 12, 1900 in Louisville, Kentucky, to George Morrison and a mother whose name is unknown since she died when Mamie was just 3 years old. In 1920, she married a man named Jack Thurman, and 4 years later, they moved to Logan, West Virginia. Let me give you a brief history lesson. Now, for those who don't know, West Virginia has a huge coal industry. In August 1921, 10,000 armed coal miners confronted the powers that be and went on strike. As they marched towards the border of Logan County, the miners made sure to distinguish themselves from the enemy by tying red bandanas around their neck. Some say this is where the term redneck comes from. The Battle of Blair Mountain, as it came to be known, was the largest uprising since the Civil War, so you can imagine the town was still a little on edge when Mamie and Jack moved in. Lucky for the couple, the town also learned how to make their own liquor at home, so they were able to create their own version of the Roaring Twenties. And that's where our story truly begins.
Look, Jack, the Robertsons are home.
Good afternoon, Harry.
Afternoon, Jack. Mamie, you remember my wife, Louise?
How do you do?
Clarence, park the car in the garage, boy.
Yes, sir, Mr. Robertson.
Well, who's that?
Clarence Stevenson. He stays in our attic from time to time. Drives my car to the fox hunts. Repairs things when they're broken. He's a good I'm sure he'll grab a few of them boxes for you, too.
I think we could manage. We ain't got much more to move.
I do hope the apartment was clean. I worry about it being above the garage. Cars can be so filthy.
Ain't a speck of dirt inside, Louise. But will we hear the car coming and going?
Nah. Louise and me usually stay inside once it's dark. Louise, why don't you and Mamie run along and have some sweet tea? Jack and I have some business to discuss.
All right. Clarence, help me set up.
Yes, ma'am.
Harry watched his wife and new tenant walk away, then leaned in closer to Jack.
Jack, boy, I wanted to discuss that patrolman position with you.
I thought their force was full.
It was. But I like you and your wife. I made them fire one of their other recruits so you could get the position.
Fire? Mr. Robertson, that ain't right.
Please, Jack. The men in this town know I watch over their money at the bank and don't want to cross me. When I want something, I make sure I get it.
I hope it wasn't much trouble.
Not at all. Besides, with you on the force, I'm guaranteed my rent. Now, why don't you drop off that last box and we can join our pretty little wives for tea?
Harry had more on his mind than rent money. Jack worked the late shift from 6 at night until 6 in the morning, meaning his pretty little wife was left home alone.
And I get you all to myself. What did you tell Jack you were doing this time?
The usual. I'd be reading my Bible for this weekend's Sunday school sermon and then going to bed early. It ain't a lie. I did go to bed early. I just plumb forgot to tell him I'd be going to bed with you.
Y'all about dead in there? I got another customer wait.
Yes, Miss Finette.
And don't forget to take them sheets off the bed this time.
No, ma'am. You going home?
Nah, I thought I hit up one of them speakeasies.
Them boys really love you, huh?
Maybe.
You better be careful.
Why? Ain't none of them talking to Jack.
Suppose not, but they might talk to me, and I don't like to share.
Jack don't want to share neither, but to that I say, what he don't know, don't hurt him.
What club you drinking at tonight?
Might go to the Tin Can.
What about the Key Club?
Key Club?
Maybe you know it as the Amen Club.
No, sir.
Shoot, it's a damn good time. Each one of us got our own key to get in. The fellas, they love bringing their dames on Fridays. And they've been itching to see you there.
I don't know. Doesn't sound very fun.
Trust me, baby doll. All the richest, most powerful men in town are there.
Is that so?
Yes, ma'am. That's why we call it the Logan Businessman's Club by day. It's in the Holland Building. I'll have Clarence drive us.
Do I have to lie down in the back seat again?
You want the town talking?
No.
Then you'll have to lay down in the back with the curtains drawn.
Very well. But tell Clarence to remove that tarpaulin. I'll be wiping your dog's hairs from my dress for weeks.
We're moving, Finette. We'll drop the bed linens off later this week.
Uh-huh. Well, good night, folks.
Here we are. The old Key Club.
Sounds like a gas.
Harry, old boy. You finally came with... Holy cats. Is that your secretary?
Sure is. Harry keeps the books and I keep him honest while he does it. Pour us around, fellas.
I gotta train the lizard. You okay for a while?
Yeah, I can handle myself.
Great. Be right back.
Drink for the lady.
Thanks, pal.
Say, ain't you married to that policeman?
Say, ain't that none of your business?
Mamie Thurman, I thought I recognized you. I've seen you at Sunday services for months.
And I've seen you running for office. Where is your wife?
At home, like you should be. But I ain't angry you're here, baby. Now, how about a kiss?
How's about a roll between the sheets instead?
Wowzers, you're itching to go, aren't you?
Your assistant could have told you that. Met up with him last week. Now, where you want to go, pal? Bathroom? Bedroom? Alley?
All of them, baby.
Done and done. Come on, while Harry's taking a pee.
By the 30s, Mamie had earned quite a reputation in town. She held all kinds of powerful men by the balls, and I gotta say, I respect that. Her downfall, though, might have been keeping the names of these 16 men on a list. Though we don't know for sure who all was on there, we know they held positions of power, and I'm sure if word got out they were having affairs, they could easily tumble off their pedestals. Sometime after her affair with Harry started, Mamie decided to share the list of other men's names with him.
Look, darling, I know I ain't the only cock in the hen house. You're married to someone besides me, for gosh sake. But I don't want to know their names.
Well, I want to come clean with you.
I appreciate it. But can you promise me something? Promise me you'll stop seeing them, okay?
No, sir, I can't do that. They'd be mighty upset.
Fine. I understand. Well, shall we meet up again Saturday?
Fine with me. Good night.
Unbeknownst to the lovers, Louise Robertson was watching their late-night escapade from her window. She rubbed her eyes, hoping it was just a trick of the moonlight. But as Harry stepped away from this woman, Louise became all too aware of the lusty eyes the two shared.
Little tramp. I'll teach you to sleep with my Harry. You'll regret the day you tainted him.
This dramatic reading of the Scarlet Letter will continue after these brief messages. Welcome back to our show. It's the evening of June 22nd, 1932, and Louise is washing the dishes as Harry enters with their children.
Hello, darlings. How was the pool?
Oh, wonderful, dear. You should have been there. Jack Thurman made the biggest splash.
I'm sure he did.
Is it just me, or have you been avoiding the Thurmans for several months now?
Well, darling, you can't blame me for not wanting to associate with the lower class.
Louise!
Tell the children to wash up. Supper won't keep much longer.
As Louise left the room, Harry caught a glimpse of Mamie leaving the garage apartment, accompanied by an African-American woman.
Where is she going this late? Clarence!
Yes, sir?
I'm taking my boy to the smokehouse to listen to the fights. Mamie just left with Maddie Bell. Follow her and let me know if she sees any other men.
Yes, sir.
It just so happened that Mamie was running a few errands. She took Maddie the laundry woman to the Piggly Wiggly.
$1.50 we owe you for the laundry, Maddie. Thanks for letting me make change first. I'll take these sheets over to Finette's for you. See you in a few weeks for the next load.
Clarence carefully followed Mamie around town. After leaving the supermarket, she entered a drugstore and remained inside for 20 minutes. From there, Clarence followed Mamie out to Finette's and then back into town. When Mamie entered the Holland building, Clarence took a seat on the bank steps across the street, waiting to see if Mamie left with one of those prominent businessmen. Meanwhile, at the police station...
What's wrong, Thurman?
I've called Mamie half a dozen times, and she ain't answering.
Don't get your briefs bunched. Maybe she just went to sleep early.
Yeah, you're right. No sense in ruining my shift over it.
As usual, Jack returned to his home shortly after 6 the next morning.
Dang it!
Unlike usual, Mamie was not in bed.
Harry, wake up!
Jack, what's this commotion about?
Mamie isn't in bed. She ain't here, is she?
Of course not. Why would she be in my house? I didn't see her come home last night at all. Clarence, get the car started. We have to find Mrs. Thurman.
Thanks, Harry. You're a swell friend.
What seemed like worlds away from the Thurman household was deaf and mute 32-year-old Garland Davis. He walked through a field of blackberries just off the main road, picking off the berries one by one, totally carefree. He landed in a ditch and crawled his way to the next big patch. The morning stroll was ruined when he came across Mamie's battered body. She was covered in scratches, and her face showed gunpowder burns. This was because not one, but 2 bullets had been shot through her head. And as if that wasn't enough, her throat had been slashed clean across the jugular. Garland ran to the nearby number 22 mine and gathered up a few of the workers there.
What's he so spooked about? All I see is a polka-dotted hat and there—
And that woman! Holy smokes, ain't that Mamie Thurman?
Mighty hard to tell. She soaked through to the bone from this morning's rain.
Well, why are we standing here talking about it? Get the sheriff.
Once police were notified of the murder, troopers C.L. Thompson and C.B. Satterfield arrived.
It ain't no robbery. She still got a diamond ring, an engagement ring, and $9 in her purse.
Roughly $160 in 2021.
So I think someone headed out for Mamie. Probably shot her twice for good measure, and they wasn't worried about anybody hearing the gunshots since it was a storming.
Yep, and the mine's closed, so ain't nobody on this road. You think her husband did it?
No, he was working all night. And besides, he don't drive. So how'd he get the body all the way out here?
Sirs, me and 3 other miners was coming into work around 5 this morning when we saw a Ford shoot by driven by
driving a Ford? You know who that sounds like.
Mm-hmm. Clarence Stevenson driving Harry Robertson's Model A.
The investigators prowled around for clues in Harry's basement.
Looky here, boys. These marks on the wall? Probably from bullets. And this bloody razor? Must be the weapon.
We got bloodstains on the floor and window of his Ford. And we found bloody curtains from the car stashed in the garage.
Clarence is the driver, but it's Harry's car. And we all know he's one of Mamie's regulars. So maybe something went wrong, and he had her killed. Well, let's get him arrested.
What did she expect was going to happen? At about 8:30 p.m. on June 22, 1932, Harry and Clarence were arrested and then questioned in the Logan County Jail. Soon after, both men found themselves at a preliminary hearing for the murder of Mamie Thurman. Nearly 1,000 people lined up, as if the circus was in town.
Miss Lloyd Hager, please begin the prosecution's questioning.
Tell me about your relationship with Mrs. Thurman, Clarence.
Well, sir, I drove for Mr. Robertson. I'd set up meeting spots for him and Mamie, and if Mrs. Robertson asked me about anything, I was to say Mr. Robertson was on a hunting trip and I was driving to meet him.
And Mrs. Thurman was in the back of the car instead of Mr. Robertson's hounds?
Yes, sir.
You ever get friendly with Mrs. Thurman?
Yes, sir. Mamie and me was having an affair. She don't mind I'm a
tramp. She's a tramp. You have any knowledge of Mamie's death?
No, sir. Not till I was picked up off the bank steps by the police.
What about you, Mr. Robertson? What was your relationship with Mamie?
We had countless engagements. Our last was on Saturday the 18th.
Were you aware Mamie was having engagements, as you called them, with Clarence?
Yes, sir. She gave me a list of 16 men she was seeing. I asked her to stop seeing them, but she wouldn't.
Who else was on that list?
I don't find it right to share their names, but one of them is dead. All except three live in the city of Logan, and all are married but one.
If you didn't kill her, what were you doing that night?
Went to listen to the fights with my boy, came home at 9, and went to sleep. My wife will confirm.
At the end of the preliminary hearing, Harry was released while a trial date for Clarence was set. Huh. I wonder why a white man was released, but a black man was kept locked up. Weird. But not as weird as how things continued from here. The prosecution knew very well they only had circumstantial evidence, so they offered a $1,000 reward for any information leading to a conviction. Nothing really came from this, and Clarence's trial opened on October 10th.
Mr. Robertson, when did you last see Mrs. Thurman?
The afternoon she was murdered.
Different from what he had previously said, but I'm sure that was brushed aside.
And the whereabouts of your car?
I got home from the fights, and I noticed my car was missing. Clarence would have had access to it, and a friend of mine said he saw Clarence leaving in it around 9.
Did Clarence often drive your car?
Yes, sir. He always drove Mamie to our rendezvous. And he also drove my dogs to the fox hunts.
Did he lay out a tarpaulin to protect the seats from dog hairs?
Yes, sir.
Was it this tarpaulin?
Yes, sir.
Clarence, were you aware we found dog hairs on Mamie?
No, sir.
Do you think they might have come from this tarpaulin?
I don't know, sir.
Do you know why there was blood on this tarpaulin and the Ford's windows?
Yes, sir. I often get nosebleeds. I fell asleep in Mr. Robertson's car and woke up to one of my bleeds. Felt awful bad about staying in the car, so removed that sheet and the curtains to wash them later.
Mrs. Robertson, did Clarence get nosebleeds?
Oh, yes. Often. The poor thing was in a car crash years ago. It deformed his face so badly, that's probably why he gets them.
Your husband employed Clarence. Do you know where he was the night Mamie died?
We heard him come home and go up to the attic around 11. He had been out that evening per Frank's request. I thought it had something to do with the dogs at the time, but now I know it was because Frank had him spying on his mistress.
Do you think Clarence did it?
Oh, no, sir. The coroner said she was dead for 12 hours when they found her that afternoon, and Clarence was home by 11.
But the coroner could have gotten it wrong?
Well, I suppose so, but...
Well, thank you, Mrs. Robertson. I have no further questions.
After all the witnesses had been called, the jury was sent to deliberate. 55 minutes later, they returned with a guilty verdict. By all accounts I read, the town seemed to like Clarence, so the jury requested,
"Take mercy on Mr. Stevenson."
Which meant,
"Clarence Stevenson, I hereby sentence you to life in prison."
Very well, sir, but I have no knowledge of the crime I'm accused of. I tried to tell the truth. I hope the law won't stop until they find the guilty party.
Clarence would appeal the following spring for 9 reasons, which included,
there weren't no blacks on the jury. The court allowed improper evidence from the state when one of the miners said I ran him off the road. It could have been someone covered in coal dust from the mines. And there ain't sufficient evidence for a verdict.
That December, the state Supreme Court denied his appeal, and he remained in prison until April 24, 1942, when he passed away from stomach cancer. Interestingly enough, Logan County remained skeptical about who did kill Mamie Thurman that night, which was why her brother George popped into town decades later.
I'm not really trying to solve a murder, although I wouldn't mind knowing. An awful lot of facts have been obscured. Frankly, I think the guy took the rap for some other people.
Clarence might have. Maybe that's why they say Mamie's ghost still walks the road by the number 22 mine. Maybe the KKK did her in for sleeping with a black man. Some say she preferred him.
I'm not looking for any wild theories. I just want the truth. And if I can't get the truth, I'm gonna write a book about my sister so the world knows what I think really happened. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, George. Good luck with your research.
Sadly, George Morrison Jr. would pass away without knowing where his sister's grave really was. Though I don't think Mamie's ghost haunts the town looking for justice, I do enjoy the fact the town regularly performs a play about her murder and allows the audience to vote for who they think might have actually killed her. My heart doesn't think Clarence really murdered her. I mean, what reason would he have had? Harry Robertson might have been frustrated enough to do her in after realizing she wouldn't stop sleeping with the other men, but it also seems like he had known about those men for quite some time. Too much time in my eyes for him to have killed her. My wild theory is Mrs. Robertson, angry over her husband's affair with their tenant, decided to do Mamie in and had Clarence help dump the body. She did back up Clarence's alibi about coming home long before the coroner said Mamie was murdered. It might have been one of the Robertsons or someone else entirely, but I don't think Clarence did it. Especially when Norman Sloan, a man who spent time in prison with Clarence, later said,
"He told me he was hired to take the body to 22 Mountain and that he didn't do anything to Mamie Thurman. He never did say who killed her, but he said that he didn't do it. Stevenson told me it was all politics."
Maybe not the most reliable narrator out there, but neither is an all-white jury convicting a black man. Little Black Book was written and narrated by me, Skylar Fastenow, and executive produced by Daniel Jones. Voice talent was provided by Taylor Shirdy, Daniel Jones, Jordan Catcher, Tamara Perry, Jeremy Staple, Jeanette Zosh, and Gabriel Rivers. Our theme music was written and performed by Tracy Zales, editing and sound design by Brian Campbell, and cover artwork by Catherine Fastenow. Thank you for joining us for another chapter of the original Dead Time Stories. If you like this story, let us know by leaving a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. And don't forget to mention who you think murdered Mamie Thurman. You can also share your ideas on her murderer with us on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, and Twitter at The Original Dead Time Stories. The links to our social media pages are in the episode description, as well as how to find our Patreon. Our patrons, by the way, receive ad-free episodes, early access to new episodes, merchandise, and more. So check that out today. Our murderous road trip across America continues in 1 week. But as we travel down the highway, let me ask you a riddle. What do deep-fried Oreos, journalism, and my home state have in common? They all play a part in next week's episode. You'll see what I mean. But until then, stay safe out there. I don't want you to become the next chapter's topic on the original Dead Time Stories.